This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, September 20th, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The KUAF website giveaway is offering passes to the Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Music Festival, October 17th through the 19th in Ozark. Performers include Yonder Mountain String Band, Turnpike Troubadours, Railroad Earth, and more. Artist-led workshops, vendors, and outdoor activities will be offered. The drawing is Friday, October 4th, during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration is available at KUAF.com.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Corey Montgomery and his guitar inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. He'll play two original songs and talk about a life lived a lot on the road. Plus, guides are ready to help people navigate the new state health insurance marketplace as the enrollment period approaches.
And a student-designed Sex Education Week at the University of Arkansas begins Monday. We'll hear from some of the organizers who say they want the week to be for students and created by students.
First, according to numbers released this morning by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Arkansas's unemployment rate remained unchanged at 7.4% from July to August, though it did increase by 0.1 percentage point from 1 year ago. The August projections also put the U.S. unemployment rate at 7.3%, marking the first time since before the recession that the national unemployment rate has been lower than the unemployment rate in Arkansas. The agency's projections claim that from July to August, the state's overall civilian labor force contracted by about 4,700 people to rest at just over 1.3 million workers, about 27,000 fewer people than August 2012.
The impending rollout of the Affordable Care Act, commonly referred to as Obamacare, in October is not seen as an inevitability by all of Arkansas's congressional delegation. Republican Senator John Bozeman says he would like to delay the process by which Arkansans sign up for government-subsidized private insurance.
I'd like to see a delay for the personal, aspect of it, too, the individual aspect. And I think we probably will have the opportunity to vote on that, and I'll vote for the delay.
Although Senator Bozeman is opposed to the health care law and wants it repealed, he says his office is committed to helping residents navigate the health care exchanges when they open October 1st.
Arkansas Attorney General Dustin McDaniel's office yesterday weighed in on a number of proposed amendments to the state constitution. The attorney general approved a ballot measure proposed by Arkansans for Equality that would repeal Amendment 83 of the Arkansas Constitution. That amendment prohibits same-sex marriages and also prohibits recognition of civil unions and relationships similar to marriage. The proposed ballot measure wouldn't legalize same-sex marriage, but would restore all Arkansas laws relating to marriage in effect prior to Amendment 83's passage, as well as additional legislation passed since that amendment was adopted. That includes the Arkansas General Assembly's statutory ban on same-sex marriage. Additionally, the proposed amendment would put the power to pass laws relating to marriage back in the hands of the General Assembly and allow state courts to interpret and construe those laws.
Meanwhile, the Attorney General rejected another proposed amendment that would have allowed voters to legalize marriage as a union of two people, regardless of sex. A.G. McDaniel rejected the measure for a number of deficiencies and ambiguities, including the measure's lack of description on how it would affect current law. And the Attorney General rejected a proposed amendment that would have sought to remove corporate spending on political campaigns in Arkansas. The proposed ballot measure, submitted by the ethics reform group Regnet Populus, was rejected on grounds of ambiguities in the measure and inconsistencies between the measure's two main sections, which address a prohibition on corporate spending to influence elections, and a resolution regarding a federal constitutional amendment.
The State Attorney General's Office and the Arkansas Press Association are hosting a series of workshops on Arkansas's Freedom of Information Law. The workshops will take place at several locations around the state, including Fort Smith and Bentonville. Aaron Sadler, a spokesman for the AG's office, says the events are intended to educate many groups of people about the law.
And, you know, Arkansas has one of the most comprehensive and strongest freedom of information laws in the nation. And we think that it's important for experts in our office who deal with Freedom of Information Act issues on a daily basis to go out to parts of the state to talk to public officials, talk to citizens, talk to journalists about what the Freedom of Information Act means to them.
Sadler says the AG's office particularly wants to reach out to those working in the state's county courthouses and city halls for a simple reason.
To inform them about the law so that they can make better decisions when someone submits a FOIA request. We're going to talk to them a little bit about the process of responding to a request, what they should look for, what they should ask for, and how they can help their constituency in this process.
The Arkansas Freedom of Information Act was enacted in 1967. Sadler says it compares favorably to other states' freedom of information laws because it contains only a handful of exemptions for accessible information. Workshops will be held in Fort Smith at 1 o'clock Thursday afternoon at the UAFS Latour Conference Center, and at 4:30 next Friday, that's the 27th, at Northwest Arkansas Community College's Shoemaker Center in Bentonville. Workshops will also be held later in Little Rock and Texarkana. The workshops are free, but participants must register beforehand.
The organizers of Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue Rally have canceled today's poker run because of the rainy weather. Participants entered into the canceled poker run have the option of riding in tomorrow's poker run, or they can still draw all their cards from 1 to 4 o'clock this afternoon at the Fayetteville Firefighters Association tent on the corner of Dixon Street and West Avenue. Those who choose to draw their cards today will be competing for today's prizes, while those who choose to participate in tomorrow's poker run will be competing for Saturday's prizes.
The wet weather has also prompted Main Street Rogers officials to make changes to tonight's Third Friday events. Scheduled events will still take place. They'll just be indoors until 9 o'clock in downtown Rogers.
Tonight, cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and a low of 51 in northwest Arkansas, and a 70% chance of showers and a low of 59 in the Arkansas River Valley. Sunny tomorrow with highs from 77 degrees in northwest Arkansas to 82 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley. Clear tomorrow night with lows from 48 in northwest Arkansas to 56 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire region. And we had rain in northwest Arkansas. How about in the Arkansas River Valley?
Yes, nice, cool, and wet here. So maybe we'll get a last little bit of rain before we head into the fall season.
And this is the final Friday of summer. You have the latest Compass report that has come out that kind of gives economic grades to Arkansas's major regions. And for the first time in a while, both Northwest Arkansas and the Fort Smith Metro have good news?
Yes, good news. And finally, as you said, we'll start with Fort Smith. And as you said, we give them grades. And their second quarter 2013, which measures April through June, was a C, which is better than the first quarter and better than the second quarter of last year. And what we're seeing in the Fort Smith area through this analysis, and again, the Compass report is the only independent economic analysis of Arkansas's three largest metro areas. And what we're seeing in the Fort Smith area is that it's not better by any stretch, but we're seeing improvements in the number of employed and the gains in building permits just continue to really hold up. When it started out and we were seeing this construction activity in the area, we were concerned that it wouldn't continue through the year, but it's still, and even though this is a second quarter report, we're still seeing strong building permit values through August. So it's nice to see the Fort Smith area kind of recover again. It's not that we're back to where we were. It's just that maybe we've reached a bottom, and we were kind of on the bottom for a while, and it's starting to tick back up in the Fort Smith area.
As my professor in college of my botany course can tell you, however, a C is tentative. You can get improvement, but you're not too far away. I mean, it's still a very a sort of shaky position.
Yes, that's good. That's a good analogy. It is shaky. We'll just keep our fingers crossed. Of course, Northwest Arkansas continues to be just rocking and rolling. And the second quarter grade of was a B for the region for the second quarter. And it's as our economist Jeff Collins noted, you know, it economic trends in Northwest Arkansas. And this is interesting. It's a smaller metro area, but in terms of the growth, it continues to outperform Central Arkansas, which is a much larger metro area. It adds more jobs month to month, adds more to the labor force. You know, it's one of those things we may look up in a decade or two for those who are still around, and that Northwest Arkansas area may have a larger labor force than Central Arkansas. But again, the takeaway here, it's nice to see both Fort Smith. I mean, obviously Northwest Arkansas has been rocking and rolling for several quarters, but it's good to see both regions, both geographically connected regions, doing well for a change.
I want to ask you about one sentence that's in the Compass report for the Fort Smith metro area, and that is a line that says, for better or worse, Fort Smith is still a manufacturing town. And that kind of goes to the heart of the present and future of the metro area, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And, the Fort Smith region, the reason it took a hit so hard, so much harder than the other metro areas, is that it had such a higher percentage of the workforce either directly involved in manufacturing or in manufacturing support. I think an analogy for folks in Northwest Arkansas would be, you know, what if the retail sector took a huge hit?
Exactly.
You know, and it would just be tough. And that to a lesser degree is what's happening in Fort Smith. Now, the hope, you know, we're seeing a lot of talk about the resurgence in manufacturing, and you have Walmart pulling this pushing this onshoring project to try to bring manufacturing back. And you hope that helps the and it will to some extent, but as we're seeing, a lot of manufacturers are coming back, and you know, a decade or so ago, if a manufacturer comes in and makes $100 million investment or so, that would have been 500, maybe 1,000 jobs. Now it's maybe 50 or 100 jobs. I mean,
right.
It's the investment is in is capital. It's equipment intensive. It's capital intensive and not labor intensive. So, again, you'd rather have 50 or 100 jobs than no jobs. But I think what we're hearing and the economists I talk to say, even if manufacturing returns and becomes healthy in the U.S., it won't bring back the jobs that we were accustomed to.
Earlier this summer, Walmart made headlines across the country for announcing they would provide benefits to same-sex couples. Now comes word that many employers in Arkansas will be doing that.
Well, yes, the Department of Labor announced earlier this week that certain plans, retirement plans, health plans, pension, those type of things that fall under what's called the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, which we all know as ERISA, some of those plans you will have to provide benefits. You'll have to make benefits available to spouses of same-sex couples. So, you know, in Arkansas, even where there's a ban on gay marriage, these benefits and what the law says, what the ruling says, is that Arkansas companies have to honor legal weddings that happen, legal same-sex weddings that happen in other states or other countries where it's allowed. So, and it's not an insignificant number. It is, according to the Department of Labor, it will affect a little over 700,000 private sector retirement plans, 2.3 million health plans, and combined, they estimate it will reach 141 million Americans. That's probably 40-45% of the U.S. population. So, for Arkansas, which is a politically conservative state, it will be interesting how this is received by many of the employers who will now have to implement that.
Finally, there's going to be another addition to the University of Arkansas Fort Smith campus. This one devoted to visual arts.
Yes, and I know goofy journalist, we're not supposed to get excited about stuff, so I'll try to hold back on this. But yes, a $15.5 million grant, and the grant comes from Siloam Springs-based Wingate Charitable Foundation there. But it will pull all of the arts programs on the campus, and you know, I've seen some of these buildings, and I mean, some of these students are working in basements, and so this will be a very welcome addition. It'll include a 150-seat film theater, but it's just a great development, pull all the arts together. And we have to remember, this is a university. I know that West Ark Community College was around for a long time, but this is a university that's added millions to its campus, and it has less than a decade under its belt as a university. And you know, they have around 1,000 students now living on campus. I know that's not a lot compared to there in Fayetteville, but for a fledgling university, it's a good sign. And we hope maybe to see a few more of these buildings pop up in the next few years.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, education, and much more for the entire region. Quickly, Arkansas-Rutgers, do you have a prediction?
I'm gonna predict that Hogs are gonna win. My heart wants the Hogs to win. My head tells me it may not happen.
Okay, that's safe. Thank you, Michael.
All right.
Colombian harpist Edmar Castaneda transforms the Colombian harp into a lead instrument, producing cross rhythms like a drummer, smashing chordal flourishes like a flamenco guitarist, and merging jazz with traditional Colombian music. Your host, Robert Ginsburg of Shades of Jazz, will present a revealing interview with Edmar in anticipation of his upcoming concert at Walton Arts Center this Friday night at 10 on KUAF's Shades of Jazz.
This is Ozarks at Large for the final Friday of summer 2013. Hundreds of in-person assister guides across Arkansas are completing training and setting up offices so they can be ready October 1st to help enroll eligible customers into the new state health insurance marketplace as prescribed by the Affordable Health Care Act. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich recently spent an afternoon with one of the guides as she prepared for her new job.
Charlisa Cato is a former ballet dancer. She glides around her home in Eureka Springs with perfect posture, gathering worksheets and reference materials to talk about her new job as an Arkansas Health Connector in-person assister guide, IPA guide for short.
I saw an article in the newspaper, in our local newspaper, describing the job, and it essentially talked
about... Charlisa Cato recently lost her job. She was an administrative assistant for a local chiropractor who moved out of state. She's helped lots of patients over the years understand how the medical insurance complex works.
In simple English, so people would know what that meant when they came in. And I ask them, oh, you have to pay a copay, or I think you still owe your coinsurance. So I had to demystify that.
She's among three Carroll County guides, in addition to 483 others across the state undergoing rigorous training right now. She'll open her office October 1st, the first day of open enrollment, continuing into March. Those who wish to secure coverage this January must enroll by December, she says. Cato says her job is to advise eligible consumers that quality health insurance is widely available and affordable.
Well, people between the ages of 19 and 65 can shop at the marketplace. And if they don't like their insurance or they feel like it's inadequate, they can shop at the marketplace and just look and see if there are plans that they might prefer. The key part of the plans at the marketplace are that they can be no more than 9.5% of one's income. So that is what really defines the affordability. If you are below 400% of the federal poverty line, you can shop at the marketplace and possibly have cost-sharing reductions. You can still save. So even anyone above that amount can shop. There's no limitations.
Guides will explain the 10 essential benefits everyone by law must receive now, including emergency services, prescription drug coverage, and hospitalization. And that individuals with pre-existing conditions can no longer be denied coverage. Federal health care reform is all about getting uninsured Americans insurance. In Arkansas, 572,000 have none. Once consumers open an account and create a password, they will be able to choose from a tier of plans, bronze, silver, gold, and platinum, based on actuarial value, meaning how much the plan will cover versus how much you have to pay out of pocket. And then Charlisa Cato will advise on how to pay for that plan.
They can put in their own information, their credit card, debit card, whatever. They can do it right then and there on the computer. There will be options that they can mail in the premiums. The main factor that they need to know is that the plan doesn't actually start. The coverage won't start until the insurance company actually receives the payment.
Lower-income families and individuals will learn they are eligible for premium tax credits to offset premium costs.
They can see a tax credit called advanced premium tax credit, right then and there when they choose their insurance plan and enroll. Or, in some circumstances, they may prefer to wait till the end of the year and reconcile that with their taxes.
Uncompensated care should be greatly reduced, saving medical providers lots of money starting next year. But subsidies will be funded in part by them. Taxes on the medical industrial complex, as well as premium hikes spread across middle and upper class Americans. But again, no American will have to pay more than 10% of their income on health insurance premiums anymore. As for working poor and impoverished, Medicaid is being expanded under the new law to as many as 15 million Americans. Arkansas is one of two states to use an innovative market-based approach termed the private option. 250,000 Arkansans are expected to enroll. All of them will be eligible for 100% premium assistance paid by both the Fed and state's Medicaid fund, fueled by the soda pop tax. Individuals or parents ages 19 to 65 living at or below 138% of the federal poverty level will qualify. And IPA guide Charlisa Cato can help them enroll. And all her clients' information will be kept confidential.
People will just tell me what they're comfortable with. I will ask them questions about if there are medications that they take or if they have any pre-existing conditions that they need continuing coverage for, because that will help be a parameter in what plans they might choose. So it's good for them to think about those things before they come in.
Guides will verify eligibility by accessing the Federal Data Service Hub. None of that information, however, will be kept or stored by them. Businesses with 50 or more employees must also provide coverage to their workers starting in 2015.
But they can offer their employees insurance now through the marketplace, which is the Small Business Health Options. And they can also receive tax credits if they contribute up to 50% of the premium, of their employees' premiums.
Individuals and families can enroll themselves, of course, or work with licensed agents or brokers who are listed on the marketplace. The Arkansas Insurance Department in June awarded contracts to 23 IPA guide organizations across 75 counties to hire and train as many as 500 guides. Charlisa Cato is working under the Arkansas Guide Organization. CEO Dale Ramsey, a full-time private practice lawyer and part-time judge based in Huntsville, incorporated his nonprofit healthcare organization 4 months ago. He was awarded a grant from the Arkansas Insurance Department to hire guides in Carroll, Boone, Madison, and Marion counties.
I did a lot of work in healthcare and employee benefits at many different law firms in Washington, D.C. and Kansas City. And so I've been familiar with healthcare for a long time. And when the Affordable Care Act was passed, I started speaking to our local Chamber of Commerce and civic clubs in Huntsville in 2010 and 2011. So I've been speaking to my fellow citizens about this for a long time. And it just seemed to me, with my background and the need, and particularly in these rural counties that we thought needed some attention, that we thought that it'd be a good thing for us to do.
Dale Ramsey says his guides earn around $12 an hour. He devotes 10 hours a week to being a paid marketplace supervisor, earning $16 an hour. Dale Ramsey says the healthcare organization guide structure is a good way to network the new law.
This will be a new concept for a lot of people. A lot of people don't have insurance. A lot of people don't know about the internet. I mean, we'll have a substantial group of our citizens, particularly the elderly, who aren't used to dealing on the internet. And I think that it's important that they get to discuss and be educated by people who live in their communities, because I think those are people they'll trust.
But one thing guides cannot do is pick a marketplace insurance provider for eligible consumers. Dale Ramsey warns the system is so new that we must all be patient.
And as I've told our guides are wearing a lot of different hats. They're partially insurance agent, although they don't work for an insurance company. They don't receive a commission. They need to know about insurance policies and networks and providers and deductibles. They're partially human resources because they need to know about employer policies. They need to know about COBRA. They need to know about family versus individual coverage that might be offered by an employer. They're partially H&R Block. because they have to explain modified gross income. They have to determine and have to explain to people what happens if their income changes between this year and next year, and the fact that they might have to pay more in taxes or they might get a tax credit. They're partially a public speaker because a part of what guides are supposed to do is provide outreach and education. And so it's an extremely complicated job for which we haven't found anybody there isn't anybody to follow for 3 or 4 months before you go out live. Therefore, I am not confident that we're going to know all the answers right at the beginning. But I don't think that it's something that we can't figure out and tell people and explain to people that we will get back to them and be able to ultimately answer their questions.
According to the new health care law, all eligible Arkansans who don't have insurance must enroll or face certain penalties, which increase every year, eventually costing the equivalent to enrollment. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
IPA guide organizations and the Arkansas Insurance Department are urging Arkansans with no health coverage to prepare in advance before contacting guides. 5 things to do now to get ready for the enrollment are listed on the Arkansas Health Connector website. Plan rates and providers are scheduled to be issued as early as Monday. A list of local IPA guides will be posted in the coming weeks under the Get Help link at arhealthconnector.org. You can also call 855-283-3483. According to the Arkansas Department of Health, the state does not require sex education for students. If sex education is taught, it must stress sexual abstinence, and any other content is left to the discretion of the local school district. Because sex education is not required in the state, Students for Gender Equality at the University of Arkansas have decided to help educate their peers. Monday will mark the start of Smart and Sexy Sex Education Week. Andrea Love, co-president of the group, says the inaugural Sex Education Week was organized last spring and received a positive response.
In the spring, we decided that, you know, we wanted to have some sort of event around sex ed, and it turned into a whole week because we had so many different topics that we wanted to address. And so that was in February, the first time that we held it of this year. And so we had an amazing turnout. About 300 different people came to our events over the week, and people loved it and gave us like really good feedback. And so we were excited and we wanted to do it again. And we thought that we might as well start in the fall and sort of try to market it more toward new students and freshmen especially, who probably haven't had really any of this before, and who are kind of thrown into a new environment where there is a lot of pressure to start being sexually active without much knowledge or resources about, you know, how to do that safely and in a healthy way.
The Gender Studies Department is sponsoring the week-long event that kicks off Monday with a screening of the film Straight Laced, How Genders Got Us All Tied Up. Andrea says in addition to basic health classes, events throughout the week will address issues of sexuality, sexual orientations, gender identities, and how gender plays into sex. The event has been organized by students, and Andrea says they wanted to control the content of Sex Education Week because they themselves are students, and as such, they understand what other students want and need as far as resources. Jody Nimmo, co-president of Students for Gender Equality, says while the group is organizing the event, they are not giving any of the presentations. The group has been able to find specialists within their own personal networks to talk about each subject.
We have a pretty great group of sexually liberated and informed friends that we can call upon for awesome events such as this one.
But other people, like the person doing bystander intervention for us, approached us, which was really great, and it was a new addition to this fall's presentation. And then the blogger who's speaking is somebody that I had read their blog for a long time and knew that they lived in Fayetteville, and so I contacted them, and they were really excited to participate.
The bystander intervention session is scheduled for Tuesday, following a program that focuses on treating pain with sex. Wednesday's events include a session on rape culture and 2 panel discussions, one on polyamory, and a second on trans and gender identity. All events will take place on the U of A campus except for the Climax, a Friday night event for those 18 and up at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street. Andrea says it will be a fun and less formal way to end the week. It will feature music, speakers, discussions she says are a little more appropriate for an outside venue, as well as giveaways. Jody Nimmo, co-president of the group, says the event will also mark the launch of a new initiative called the Condom Squad. She says it's important for students to have access to resources like condoms, especially for those living in co-ed environments.
We came up with the idea for the Condom Squad as, I don't know, it kind of makes me feel like a superhero. And we decided that we would make badges of some sort, or buttons or pins, or some sort of visible signal that says to someone, if you need a resource and you see this badge on my backpack, then you can come and ask me for it. And if I don't have it, then I'll make sure that you get it. And we'd like to get as many people involved in this as we can. We've talked to some other RSOs to see if they would like to partner with us. We've had some good response there. We want to get some of the residents, some of the RAs to keep them on hand in the dorms. If we can get them involved, I think that'd be really wonderful.
Andrea Love, co-president of Students for Gender Equality, says one of the reasons the week features a broad range of topics is because she is approaching the subject from a critical perspective.
You know, you can just give people condoms and say, here, like, be safe. But I think a lot more goes into how we talk about sexuality and how we think about sexuality. And, you know, we are Students for Gender Equality. We're very interested in gender issues and how that affects everything. And so, you know, I think we really, since sex ed is so lacking in our schools, and since we are suffering because of it, I mean, Arkansas has atrocious rates of STDs and teen pregnancy. And so, you know, that path isn't working. And so I think to sort of fill that gap, we really need comprehensive sex ed. And in our minds, comprehensive means a bunch of different things that these students probably haven't been exposed to before, including, you know, what it's like to be a transgender person or what it's like to live as a polyamorous family, which I think is still on the cutting edge of most discussions, not even those in the South.
According to a 2011 report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Arkansas has the 8th highest rate of gonorrhea out of the 50 states and the District of Columbia. According to a recent study by the Guttmacher Institute that uses data from 2008, Arkansas has the 5th highest rate of teen pregnancy in the country. Regardless of what event students attend, Brady Larson, secretary and treasurer of Students for Gender Equality, hopes they will become more at ease discussing the topic.
It's okay to talk about these subjects and these topics. It's not something to be scared of or to be nervous about. That would be the main thing that I would hope everyone would take away from it.
Something that I hope people might take away is that, you know, this is information that can last you a lifetime. It's about your health. It's about, you know, another part of your health that's kind of controversial, though it shouldn't be. So there are some folks out there who, you know, are not planning to be sexually active for a while, this information is still valuable. So I guess I would just hope that, you know, have an open mind and you'll probably learn something.
Smart and Sexy Sex Education Week begins Monday and is free and open to the public. More information is available at uarkgender.wordpress.com.
It is Friday, September 20th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
What? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. Could you say that again a little louder, please?
Is your hearing gone because of Mike's Blues and Barbecue?
I believe my hearing is at least impaired.
It's only temporary, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. But I think as you get older, it's harder to process sound. I'm okay, though. I know some of you love it. I'm actually one of those people. And I know some of you don't love it so much. So this weekend, we have two lists.
Okay.
The I want to go have fun with the bikers list.
All right.
And the I want to go anywhere else, please list.
What are we going to do first?
Bike fun.
Okay.
Okay, obviously we're talking about Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, and among the events and performances that are actually part of Bikes and Songs, as I insist on calling it, and eventually everybody else will agree with me, our headliner Jason D. Williams, who performs at 10:30 today. That's across from the Walton Arts Center in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Headliners Joe Giles and the Homewreckers at 8:30 tomorrow, and Big James and the Chicago Playboys at 10:30 tomorrow, same location. The FMX Stunt Team Show, which is at 11, 2, and 5 tomorrow at the Baum Stadium parking lot.
I'm not sure if this is, well, I've seen stunt shows in the past, and they are interesting.
I think it'll be fun.
It can be fun. I think I missed the one last year. I couldn't quite find them. I think they closed down early or something happened. I don't know if it was a rain or something.
Yeah.
But if you can catch the stunt guys, it's fine.
And you may want to catch what's happening because of rain or what's not, because there is rain throughout
right.
the forecast.
Exactly. And assuming that they can get up in the sky, the B-29 flights are all weekend at Drake Field, and there are cockpit tours, and that sounds really cool. And you can check bikesbluesandbarbecue.org, BBQ,
gotcha.
To find out more. The Kentucky Headhunters are in town.
Mm-hmm.
At Cherokee Casino in West Siloam Springs, there's a free show that starts at 10:30 tonight. And the opener is Kinsey Sadler at 7. This is the Kentucky Headhunters. This is free.
Okay.
There's a motorcycle art show. Very cool. You know, there's an iconic image that you expect from biker art. And it has an elaborately painted Harley and a babe in black leather.
Right.
And I spoke with an artist named Ron Morgan from Oklahoma City who doesn't disappoint. He says, motorcycles were my fascination, and then I painted the girls, my two loves, bikes and girls, but I can only paint the girls. Of course, he's been riding forever. He is one of the artists at the first motorcycle art show that's 10 to 4 today and tomorrow on the lower level at the Eureka Springs City Auditorium. And they'll have maps of places to eat, and they'll have food, and they'll have rally information, even though it's not officially part of Bikes and Songs, and it's free. And then, of course, the Parade of Power, my
right.
favorite thing. At 4 o'clock Saturday, it starts at the Washington County Fairgrounds and ends up on Dixon Street. We will have a map in the paper today or tomorrow, I'm not sure which, but you can look in your edition of Northwest Arkansas newspapers and find a route map.
I've said this before, but it bears repeating. Look at that map whether you want to see the parade or don't want to see
Precisely.
The parade.
Precisely.
Oh, I do need to figure that out because I have to go back and forth across town on Saturday. So.
Right. And there are ways.
There are ways around. I just need to figure out which that is. Thank you. I will look at that.
Wildly important information.
Yes.
Now, if you're in the anywhere else, please category.
Okay.
Tomorrow is College Day at Crystal Bridges. You do not have to be a college student to go, but they will have all sorts of information for college students who might not know anything about Crystal Bridges.
And a scavenger hunt, right?
A massage art therapy and a collaborative art making project with Eureka Springs artist Robert Norman.
Which sounds really cool.
You get to write your hopes and dreams on sticks and it becomes part of this sculpture.
That will move.
Right, that will move and be illuminated.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a party that evening. This is from 3 to 6, and then there's a party later in the evening where the sculpture will be illuminated. It's Folk Art Family Day at Rogers Historical Museum. Much quieter. Taking you back to the early 1900s when Extension Homemakers Clubs, they were called Home Demonstration Clubs, were very popular. And women did things like seed art, where you took seeds from various plants and you made three-dimensional paintings with them. Have you ever seen the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota?
Absolutely, I have.
It all came kind of out of that. There was a corn exposition in the late 1800s, and then there became this popularity of seed art.
Does seed art, you may not know the answer to this, does it look like, have you ever heard of button mosaics, people that would make images out of buttons?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Or
sort
like
of
bead
like
art.
That. So if you step further away.
Right.
Yeah.
Precisely. It comes in two different kinds where you can clearly see the seeds and then like the Corn Palace where you step away.
And you see images.
And you see the mosaic.
Right.
So you can go at 11 o'clock tomorrow to the Rogers Historical Museum and weave a fabric rug. You can make seed art at 1 p.m. or you can make a rag doll at 3 and there will be music by Brush Creek Bluegrass at 10:30 in the morning and it's all free. And then Jason Boland and the Stragglers perform at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at K. Rogers Park in Fort Smith as part of the Arkansas-Oklahoma State Fair. All of the headline entertainment is free with gate admission. $7 for adults and $4 for children 12 and younger.
It sounds like either column provides a lot of inexpensive entertainment.
Oh, I think so.
This weekend.
All right. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
You don't have to search very hard for music in autumn around here. Bands have been playing loud and clear for the past couple of nights and will continue through the weekend along Dixon Street in Fayetteville for the Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue Rally. Harvest Fest in Ozark is next month, and there are, of course, the usual venues in full gear. Corey Montgomery is a familiar voice throughout the region, but he also travels quite a bit with a variety of ensembles. Earlier this year, when he had a few days back home, he came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to talk to Katie Hendrickson and to play a couple of original songs as well. Katie asked him about one of those songs titled Living These Days.
Well, I wrote it a year or two ago, and it's just kind of about getting wrapped up in small town drama, I guess you'd say. But just, and you know, you get these feelings that you want to go do things and just get out and change a little bit, so...
And with small town drama, is it any particular small town in mind or just in general?
Just kind of really in general. I don't know. I'm kind of, I get out on the road and I come back. I want to come home. Then I come home and 2 weeks being home, I'm ready to jump back in the van and go every time almost.
Trapped all in my own lonely bin. Oh, and I'm tired of chasing down this old one-horse town. And I'm tired of watching you just burn another down. And yeah, we've all got pain inside us. We ain't got no one to blame. Well, and that's why we all need something higher. Living in these days, oh, living in these days. Well, now, sister's got a gun. You know she got her enemies in sight. But soon she'll know that she's only got herself to find. And brothers in the basement filling his head with lead. And mama's praying above as she lays on her dying bed. And yeah, we've all got pain inside us. We ain't got no one to blame. Well, and that's why we all need something higher, living in these days. Well, oh, living in these days, oh, living in these days, living in these days, oh, oh, living in these days. In my own loony bin. Oh, and I'm tired of chasing down this one-horse town. And I'm tired of watching you just burn another down. Yeah, we've all got pain inside us. We ain't got no one to blame. Yeah. And that's why we all need something higher. Living in these days. Well, oh, oh, living in these days.
How many days of the year are you on the road, and what is it like to be a touring musician like that?
Well, I like I said earlier, it's like 8 to 10 months this year I'm going to be on the road. And I love it. It's not for everybody, but I love the fact of meeting new people and seeing new things every day. But the lifestyle is pretty taxing sometimes, and they can get tiring. People get in fights, and, you know, a little band banter every once in a while. But it's fun. I love it.
I think for when I think about people who have to play a new show every night in a new place, sometimes you've never been to that venue or even that city. How do you prepare yourself for, like, the fact that there's all these things that you can't control and you don't know what it's going to be like every single night?
Ooh, that's a good question. I guess you kind of learn to roll with it. You know, if you get thinking too much about, are they going to like me? Is it, you just kind of get up there and do your thing, and if people like it, then they like it. If not, then they can go somewhere else, I guess. But it can be intimidating, especially sometimes when you know, we get to open up for a lot of cool artists, and you're playing in front of their crowd who came to pay good money to see them play. And so there can be a little intimidation for sure. All right, this is another song I wrote. It's called Holding On. Almost forgot. Well, I got enough money, I got enough time. And she gave me a chance, and now I'm down the line. Well, she told me maybe I know the world someday. Well, I may cast those words in, oh, at my grave. I keep a holding on to what I feel. Keep a holding on to what I know is real. Well, and they say it's best to love and lost and live again. Well, but I lost from the start with that girl again. Oh, and I know it's young and bold to say. Well, but I know this can happen, oh, any old day. So excuse me for holding on to the thought of your lips. Keep a holding on. Oh, how did I resist? Well, at least I learned a lesson or two. Well, but from the first night, the right words didn't come back to you. Well, excuse me. I said, excuse me for holding on to the thought of your lips. Keep holding on. How did I resist? Yeah. Excuse me, baby. Well, excuse me for holding on. Just keep holding on. I keep holding on, yeah. Just keep holding on, yeah. All right.
And for listeners who are hearing this and want to check out more of your music, where's a good place to do that?
Well, always the old Facebook, facebook.com/thecoreymontgomeryband. Or you can check us out, listen to some of our music at sonicbids.com/thecoreymontgomeryband.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Corey, for coming in, playing music, and talking about your music.
Well, thank you. It's awesome to have radio stations that support local music. So thank you, Katie.
Corey Montgomery talked with Katie Hendrickson inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier this year. Another song Corey played that afternoon will be on our weekend edition of Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9, here on KUAF.
Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice. The KUAF website giveaway is offering season tickets to the Fort Smith Symphony's 90th anniversary season. One winner will receive a pair of tickets to Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony, Wagner's Ring, the Canadian Brass, and more. The drawing will be held Friday, September 27th, that's a week from today, during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration and information available at KUAF.com.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Paradise.
Always a good idea to try to get to Paradise.
Yes, and if you're trying to get there this weekend, it's along Highway 23.
What if I'm trying to get there next weekend? Still
on Highway 23. It's still on Highway 23, but I thought specifically, you know, a lot of bikers like to travel 23.
Sure. Right,
the,
yes.
The pig trail, because
right.
It's very pretty.
We experienced a little bit of bikes, blues, and barbecue yesterday.
We did. Made our annual trip down for some fair food. That's one of the great things, or maybe one of the bad things about it being so close.
Right.
Is we can just walk down at lunch and eat incredibly unhealthy food.
And that's what we did. some of us went to the place that's the Walton Arts Center parking lot where they've got vendors. I know Molly went over to the locally branded one, which has some of the local food trucks. That's on Dixon Street.
Over in Nightbird Books.
Right.
So, yeah, good food all around.
Yes. And Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue continues through Sunday throughout Northwest Arkansas.
Hopefully the rain lets up a little bit. I want to do some people watching tonight.
And aren't you going to a football game tonight?
I'm going to a football game with a friend, a Rogers High School football game.
Your alma mater.
Yes. I haven't been in years, so it should be interesting. Well, we're going to the new old, I don't know how you want to, not Heritage.
Right.
So
The
Mounties. But I have never been to this stadium because when I was a Mountie, we still played at the stadium that's at Heritage.
Oh, I got you.
Because that stadium had not been built yet.
You know, I did play-by-play for Rogers High School football for a couple of years.
Did you really?
On television, believe it or not.
You were on TV?
Well, it was there were about five or six of us, and they asked me to do the play-by-play, and we would do home games, and then they would be put on cable the next day.
When was that?
90s.
Okay.
When were you a Mountie?
I graduated in 04.
Oh, okay.
Did I just...
Never mind, no.
You meant like the early 90s?
Mid-90s, mid to late 90s, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't there yet.
Okay, all right.
Sorry.
That's fine.
What are you doing this weekend?
Going to go up to Bella Vista, I think, tonight, see some friends who have a lake house up there.
Oh,
and
fun.
Then just, you know, watch the football game, the Rutgers-Arkansas football
game. Oh, I need to do that. I've yet to watch a football game this season. I've been out of town.
Hasn't had a lot. I would like to get up to Springdale tomorrow morning, 8:30, to see the Rotary Adventure Park. Dedicated.
Yes, heard good things about this. So excited.
That happens at 8:30 at the Randall Tyson Complex.
So that'll be good.
Yeah. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And Sunday morning, Christina Thomas.
There's still Saturday.
Yes, there is still Saturday. Thank goodness there's still Saturday. Christina Thomas and I will be together for the latest edition of Weekend Ozarks Large that Sunday morning at 9. Christina will handle Monday's show all by her lonesome.
She will.
And then you and I together again on Tuesday.
We will. We will be back on the air Tuesday afternoon.
All right. Who do the Mounties play tonight?
I don't know.
Okay. You know, they defeated Mountain Home in the season opener this year.
Oh, good.
So you have bragging rights.
I do.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Long before his award-winning and rollicking children's books, Jack Gantos had a major misadventure on a yacht packed with illegal drugs.
Youthful indiscretion meets yo-ho-ho in a bottle of rum.
Jack Gantos on smuggling, prison, and how literature brought him through, Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.